Jeremiah chapter number 9. Stand with me if you're willing and able to do so. We'll read a few verses here tonight. Appreciate the good, sweet spirit here this evening in the house of the Lord. I pray he'll take his word now and lay a challenge to our heart. Jeremiah chapter number 9. Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet. We'll see that very clearly as we begin our reading in verse number 1. Oh, that my head were waters and mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. Oh, that I had in the wilderness a lodging place of wayfaring men, that I might leave my people and go from them. For they be all adulterers, an assembly of treacherous men. They bend their tongues like their bow for lies. This next phrase is where we want to preach from again this evening. We kind of hit a lick at this on last Sunday night, but he said, but they are not valiant for the truth upon the earth, for they proceed from evil to evil, and they know not me, saith the Lord. Take ye heed, every one of his neighbor, and trust ye not in any brother. For every brother will utterly supplant, and every neighbor will walk with slanders. And they will deceive every one his neighbor, and will not speak the truth. For they have taught their tongue to speak lies, and weary themselves to commit iniquity. Thine habitation is in the midst of deceit. Through deceit they refuse to know me, saith the Lord. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will melt them and try them. For how shall I do for the daughter of my people? Their tongue is an arrow shot out. It speaketh deceit. One speaketh peaceably to his neighbor with his mouth, but in heart he lieth his way. Shall I not visit them for these things, saith the Lord? Shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? For the mountains will take up a weeping and wailing, and for the habitations of the wilderness a lamentation, because they are burned up so that none can pass through them, neither can men hear the voice of the cattle. Both the fowl of the heavens and the beasts are fled. They are gone, and I will make Jerusalem heaps and a den of dragons. And I will make the cities of Judah desolate without an inhabitant. And those are pretty strong verses tonight as we give consideration to them again. And I understand that. I do want to deal with this text as it is this evening, the burden of the heart of Jeremiah. Looking around at his day, we read those first 11 verses. And here's what he's dealing with, Brother Jack. He's dealing with truth and dealing with lies. He's dealing with people that know the truth and have the truth, and there's yet another crowd that is deceived and walking in deception. And Jeremiah has this great burden laid upon him, and really the whole problem, the whole matter that is at hand again is found in verse number 3, but they are not valiant for the truth. And I want to talk to you. I don't know if we'll get into preaching gear. We'll see. Y'all know I probably will. But I want to talk to us tonight again about the subject of being valiant for the truth. Being valiant for the truth. You can be seated this evening. Heavenly Father, we sure do need your help. We need your touch tonight. And I pray, Lord, as Lord, it seemed like you've kind of settled us down a little bit this evening. And Lord, that's fine. We asked you, Lord, all afternoon to arrange the atmosphere of this service. Lord, we just want it to be what you'd have it to be so we could hear what God would have us to hear. And I pray now this evening, Lord, you take the Word of God as we've read it and now try to expound upon it. And Lord, expose truth to our hearts and our lives, our family, our church. That, Lord, in these days, Lord, we could know what thus saith the Lord, how we need your help to do that tonight. We need your help to speak it. We need your help to hear it. Lord, I pray that there would be some eternal things done tonight in the house of the Lord. And we'll bless you for everything that's done and accomplished. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we do pray. Amen and amen. Jeremiah, obviously, as we've read tonight, is writing about the condition of Israel, in particular that city Jerusalem, which was a city that had been blessed and been given, blessed to have been given the truth of Almighty God. And these are the people of God. These are not heathens and pagans and people that have no relationship with God. These are people that are known as the people of God. Tonight we think about the people of God. You and I are the children of God tonight. And as such, we have a very unique relationship, or should have, with the truth. We think about the truth tonight. The truth is, obviously, the Lord Jesus Christ said of himself that I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so he is the truth tonight, and all truth comes by Jesus Christ. John the Beloved said in John 1 that the law came by Moses, but grace and truth by Jesus Christ. And so we understand there is no truth outside of Christ. He is the truth. He has spoken the truth. And if you and I are going to know the truth of the gospel, that will only come by way of a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Truth is not in Buddha. Truth is not in Allah. Truth is not in Islam. And it's not in the world, New Age religions of our day. Scientology knows nothing about the truth. Truth is found in Jesus Christ through the Word of God. Jesus prayed in John 17 in his prayer for you and I as his people. He said to the Heavenly Father, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And so tonight, if we're going to know the truth and have a relationship with truth, That relationship with truth, it begins and it must be anchored in Christ and the Word of God. And if you're saved tonight, what a relationship we can have with the truth. We have not believed the lie. We're not in error tonight when it comes to a relationship with the truth. We think about what the Word of God compels us in concerning our relationship with truth. Truth should be acknowledged in the heart of a child of God. 2 Timothy 2:25, truth, the Bible said, should be believed by those who are the children of God. A lot of verses we could run through tonight again about that. Truth should be something that is obeyed. And I could say tonight that truth is not just something you believe, but truth is something that ought to be applied to our life and in our family and in our church, and is something that ought to be active in our life. Truth is not something that doesn't make connection with our life. And so we're called upon to obey the truth. Romans 2:8 and Galatians 3:1. Truth is something that ought to be loved and made very valuable into our life. You'll read about that in 2 Thessalonians 2:10. And I love what Solomon said in Proverbs 23:23. When he said, buy the truth and sell it not. That doesn't mean that you got to put down some money in order to know truth. What he is dealing with, Brother Mike, is that it ought to have a high esteem to our heart and to our life. You can't buy truth. Truth is something that, according to the book of Proverbs, wisdom cries out truth even in the street. But if you don't value truth and you don't esteem truth to be something of great value and something that is inestimable for your life, then, my friend, you'll never fall in love with the truth. Truth ought to be manifested. Truth ought to be rightly divided. I like 1 Corinthians 13:6. Truth is something that ought to be rejoiced in. It ought to spark some excitement in our heart when we think about the fact that we know the truth. Jesus said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And what I'm trying to emphasize again tonight is that we are called upon, all of humanity is called upon, but you and I, as children of God tonight, have a very unique and spiritual and righteous relationship to the truth. And I'm glad about that tonight. That doesn't disappoint me. That is something that I take great joy in tonight. I think about Proverbs 3:3, how we're called upon to take truth and bind it about our neck, and that we're to take truth and write it upon the tables of our heart. That is, my friend, we're to be governed and directed at by truth, and always have truth upon our thoughts. And upon the inward man, it ought to be governed by the truth. And so we could go on and on tonight about our relationship with truth as the children of God. But the fact is tonight, evil men have their own relationship with the truth. And the Bible speaks of that evil men turn away from the truth. And evil men and wicked men resist the truth. 2 Timothy 3:8. They literally are destitute, the Bible said, of the truth. 1 Timothy 6 and in verse number 5. And for sake of time, I'm not going to turn to all of those and all of these verses, but we understand that this is what the Word of God says. Evil men, they're not going to speak the truth. Jeremiah 9:5, we read it a moment ago. They're not going to uphold the truth. Isaiah 59:14-15, they do not plead for the truth. Isaiah 59:4, and one of these days, they're going to be punished by Almighty God because of a want and a lacking of truth in their own life. And so all of this we understand is what the Word of God says about truth in our heart and in our life. Truth is according to godliness. If you're going to be godly, you'll have to know the truth. Truth is sanctifying, John 17:17. Truth is purifying, 1 Peter 1:22. I think about this evening what truth is and how vital and how important it is to our life, so that the Word of God speaks of the fact that it is revealed abundantly and abides continually with the saints of God. And oh, how we need the truth tonight. And so the truth is in Christ. The truth is in the Word of God. And we understand tonight that Paul would say this about the truth and our relationship to it. The church of the living God is to be known as the pillar and the ground of the truth. And if you can hear the truth anywhere, you ought to be able to hear it at the house of God. Amen. And so many churches have relegated that awesome, powerful responsibility. And they have gone into the realm of entertainment and into the realm of seeker-friendly movements that have led to compromise, that have led even to the point that who would have ever thunk it, that in our day there are churches across our land, that have left the truth and compromised the truth to the degree that they have even embraced the LGBT alphabet soup compromises of our day. And I can't imagine any church flying the rainbow pride flag in their church. Do you understand how far you have to go from the truth and being the pillar and the ground of the truth, how you've got to compromise the truth in order to land there? And yet we see it in every hand. And it's not just in that scenario or that issue of the day. It's in so many. But thank God we've got a place we can come and go and be challenged by the truth. Amen. And so tonight, we want to consider our relationship with the truth. If we're going to be anything concerning the truth tonight, I think that there is a need in our day, likened unto the day of Jeremiah, where the people of God would be valiant for the truth. As I've read these verses to us again tonight, would you not agree with me, these verses, and we could have read on through the chapter, and really, Brother Mike, much of the book of Jeremiah reads like a newspaper would read in the days we're living about America this evening, error and lies and deception and slander and adultery and treachery and all of these things abound in every news broadcast, in every social media post nearly, it would say, that these things abound in our day. But you and I, as God's children, God's people, we ought to be and raise a generation again that would be valiant for the truth. I'm telling you, our generation, our very nation tonight, they are confused in deception and lies and errors, and they abound on every hand. They abound from the church house to the White House, amen, to many of family houses tonight. And we need to become valiant for the truth. I love how this verse reads. He didn't just say valiant for truth. He said, my people, they are not valiant for the truth. We're saying tonight, truth is not subjective, and truth is not suggestive. This evening, we must understand that truth is singular. And we're living in a day, here's something that abounds, and it sickens me as a preacher. And it doesn't sicken me toward people. It's the philosophy and the idea behind it that people have been given, that they're living their life by. And that is, you have your truth and I have my truth. And the whole speak your truth movement. I want to say tonight, if we're going to be valiant for the truth tonight, we must understand that truth is singular. There's only one thing that is truth. If you have one crowd saying one thing and embracing one thing and saying that's their truth, and somebody else is saying something completely opposite, I've got news for you. Both sides are not walking in the truth. And so there is this need in our day to grasp what that really means and to become valiant for the truth. It doesn't matter what you think. I would add to that tonight, it doesn't matter what I think. Amen. Your opinion and my opinions are worth just that, whatever an opinion is worth. But the truth is something valuable. And the truth does not compromise for you or for me based on what our opinions are. And so we must be valiant. We must return to valiancy for the truth. A word valiant, it's a word and a term of warfare. I told you that last week, simply meaning to be strong or meaning to prevail. And the Lord said, here is why my people, Jeremiah preaching now, here is why my people have got to the spiritual poor condition that they are in, is that they have not maintained a strength that comes through the truth. They're not prevailing in the truth. And so if you're not prevailing in the truth, understand this tonight, you are being defeated by lies. Amen. If we're not strong and valiant in the truth and prevailing in the truth, that means we're being brought down by things that are untrue. It's interesting to me, this word valiant, being valiant for the truth, that Brother Sam, this being a warfare term, when we come in the New Testament and Paul deals with our spiritual warfare, and he begins to command us and encourage us that we would put on all the armor of God. Do you remember the first thing? The first part of the armor, I'm not saying that. In fact, he'll use a phrase later on in the list of things, above all, taking the shield of faith. And so it would seem like faith would be that part of our armor that is to be magnified as the most important part. But the first thing that he mentioned was not the shield of faith, and it was not the word of God, the sword, which is the word of God. And it was in the helmet of salvation. The first thing listed in Ephesians 6 is having your loins girt about with truth. having your loins girt about with truth. Y'all understand, I'm not a vulgar preacher. I don't want to be vulgar today. And yet I want to get the truth across this evening. What he's saying is you need to have truth in your private life. You need to be governed and strengthened. The loins speak of privacy and speak of that place of strength in a man or in a woman. The loins is that core of who we are. That truth ought to be what is strengthening us in our warfare. Why is it we're seeing so many deceived at and running headlong into the world and into error at and changing what they believe at and are examples of what Paul said of people that are tossed about with every wind of doctrine at and giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils? The reason is we have lost our strength and our valiancy for the truth. Amen. Believe that's right. To be valiant for the truth. Y'all remember we threw this out last week. And I'm going somewhere just saying with me. I done give you some new stuff. This ain't all we said last week. Amen. But to be valiant for the truth means that I'm seeking the truth. They're not valiant for the truth. And he writes about slandering one another and running one another down, and you can't even trust your neighbor or your brother. Why? Because they're so steeped in lies. Because they're not seeking the truth. To be valiant for the truth is to seek the truth. To be valiant for the truth is to speak the truth. If there's ever been a generation we needed to rise up, start speaking the truth again, it's a generation you and I are living in tonight. Now, I understand we're living in a world that has so shoved Christians down and put us in the corner, and they have elevated a minority in our day to the point that we think the minority is the majority. And so we don't want to upset anybody, and we don't want to make anybody mad. And in the name of I just ain't gonna rock the boat, we have become a people that have remained silent when it comes to the fact that we need somebody to speak the voice of truth. Amen. Amen. We could go through all kinds of social issues. Amen. I already mentioned the LGBT, and I can't keep up. They add letters and take them away all the time. Amen. The transgender movement. Abortion is a thing in our nation that's been a big deal for a long time. Probably has never been a bigger deal than it is tonight. You'd be amazed how many Christians are in silence tonight. And I want to say tonight that our silence when it comes to speaking the truth shows that we're not valiant for the truth. And really, in the end of the matter, when we're not speaking the truth, our silence is confirmation of our own consent. It is evidence of our own consent to falsehood and errors in these days. I feel like I need to say that again. Did that come out okay? Our silence is evidence of our consent to what's going on in our generation. Now, you ain't got to be ugly when you speak the truth. I ain't got tolerance for an ugly preacher or an ugly Christian. Amen. Amen. I don't want to be around nobody that's mean-spirited, got an old, ugly, hateful spirit. I ain't talking about that. The Bible did say, though, that we're to speak the truth and do so in love. We can do that. We need to learn how to do that and get our voice back as the children of God. And so to be valiant for truth is to seek the truth and to speak the truth. And then to be valiant for the truth in the text, I think, simply means that we are called upon to stand on the truth. And uncompromising. We cannot compromise what the truth is. And so many have done that in this day. And may God help us not to be a part of the crowd that refuses to stand on the truth, that we would stand on it uncompromisingly, yes, with love in our heart, but being unwilling to yield up the ground of the truth that God has sown into our hearts and into our lives. And so are you valiant for the truth? Are you valiant for the truth? Is truth what governs your life? Is truth what you're seeking tonight? Do you just hear one side of an issue, or are you a seeker of truth? Amen. Amen. The older I've got, the longer I've been saved, I've learned not to listen to one side of what somebody says about anything. Amen. I get people, I guess because I'm a preacher, they want me on their side, and they'll try to tell me something about somebody else and expect me to take that as the gospel truth. But I tell you what I've learned to be a seeker of the truth. There are things that my friend, people will speak to you, and if you're not a seeker of the truth, you'll become deceived about something. Amen. Amen. I think I've told y'all this, maybe I have or haven't, had somebody come to me and wanted to meet with me and tell me something about one of our churches. This person wasn't even a member of our church. And they began to tell me things that I'm talking about, listed a bunch of vile things and wicked things and rotten things. And then when they got done, they said, "Now, don't go talk to them or tell them anything. Just keep this between you and me." And in essence, I won't tell you what all I said, but I looked at the man and I said, "You've lost your ever-loving mind. You think I'm going to believe just because you said it?" Amen. Amen. Because if you're a seeker of the truth, you don't just take somebody's word for it. Everybody look here, no matter who they are. Amen. Amen. A seeker of the truth, speaking the truth, standing for the truth. Do you have a valiancy for truth? And we dealt with last week what happens when a nation or the people of God come to the place where we are indicted, as Jeremiah indicted these people. The Lord, through the man of God, said, "But they are not valiant for truth." What happens in a church? What happens in a nation? What happens among the people of God when we're not valiant for the truth anymore? What happens? What is in the text that we need to learn? Well, we see, number one, that there is the despair of the preacher. The despair of the preacher. Jeremiah, being the prophet, begins this chapter with tears running out of his eyes, with a broken heart, weeping day and night. And he's weeping as his eyes were, he calls and describes it, a fountain of tears. And why? Because the people are not valiant for truth. He is a prophet. He, as the man of God, is called upon to give truth. It's his job. It's his calling. Listen, he wasn't called to give poems and tear-jerking stories. He wasn't called to get along and be a buddy and a pal and a chum with everybody in the community. And I'm not saying a preacher can't be friends and friendly. We ought to be. But really, the ministry of a man of God and the ministry of a preacher and the ministry of a pastor in a local church is to be one that speaks the truth to the people of God. Amen. He is to have a love for the truth. Amen. He's not to compromise it. He's not to water it down. He's not to make it fit so that, amen, everybody will like him. He's just called upon to get up and preach the truth. Now, in that calling, there's not only a calling for him to preach the truth, but there is a call, there is a burden that comes with that calling to watch God's people live their life in that truth. for them to become valiant for the truth. Amen. When the Apostle Paul went down to Thessalonica and preached, that crowd, they embraced the word of God. Paul said in writing to them, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is the truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh in you that believe. And Paul went down to Thessalonica, and those people heard the truth of the gospel and got saved. And then they began to hear the truth of what it is to be saved and to live for God and to be sanctified and to grow in grace and grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And Paul said, when you heard his preach, you didn't just hear it as the words of man. You received it as it was the word of God. Amen. You study the book of Acts. I believe it's Acts 17. When Paul left Thessalonica, he winds up in a little city called Berea. And the Bible said of the Bereans, now, would you agree with me? That's pretty noble what Paul testified about the church at Thessalonica. I'm trying to get to point two, and I am so bogged down right now, but I feel like the Lord's in it. No, what a noble testimony Paul gave about the believers in Thessalonica. You didn't take it as my word. You took it as God's word. And it didn't just work in you in the service. It kept on working in you and kept on working on you. And it worked in them to the degree that Paul said they had become examples to all the churches that were in Asia Minor. All the churches in Macedonia had heard about what God was doing in their life, and God was able to do something in their life, because when they heard the man of God preach, it was not received as the word of a man, but as it was the word of God. Amen. Well, Paul gets down. His next stop's going to be Berea. And here's what the book of Acts said about Berea. It said, here's their testimony. These were more noble than they of Thessalonica, in that after they had heard the truth, they went back home, they went back to their residence, and they began, the Bible said, to search the scriptures whether these things were so. There is a nobility, there is an exaltation of the Berean believers in that they wanted to know the truth. They weren't willing just to take a man's word for it. And listen, thank God for Thessalonican type believers that they hang on to the words of a man of God as he's preaching the word of God, as he's giving them truth to build their life on. But that ought not be the end of it. You ought to go home and have a relationship and be valiant for the truth in your own life. Amen. Now Jeremiah looks around and he sees they're no longer receiving his message as it is the word of God. They say things like this: oh, he's just preaching. Oh, I don't see it that way. And I understand there's a fine line. Preachers aren't perfect and we can get it wrong. I understand that. But if a man of God's preaching line upon line, verse by verse, precept on top of precept, I got news for you. He ain't just preaching, and that ain't just his opinion. And it don't matter how you see it. If it's in that book and it's truth, and see what happens is when the people of God lose their valiancy for truth, it creates a spirit of despair in the heart of the preacher. If he's a God-called man of God, now if he's a hireling, he don't care what you do with it. He probably ain't given too much truth nohow. But if he's a God-called man and he's got enough spiritual guts in his calling to get up and preach things, there's things God puts on my heart. When God, I'm just going to be honest with you. When God puts it on my heart, Brother Larry, I go, they ain't going to like that, Lord. Lord, they ain't going to like that one. Lord, that and there's going to, amen, rub the fur the wrong way. God will say, well, you just get up and preach it anyway. And that's what I've tried to do all these many years, being a preacher and a pastor, just give people the truth. Amen. Now, when they don't live it, they're men of God who enter into a realm of discouragement and despair where they're weeping over the very people that have resisted the truth that has been given. Amen. Got so bad in Jeremiah, and I've been here a time or two. I'm glad I ain't here right now. But Brother Mark, Jeremiah said, I'm so wore out and discouraged watching them walk away from the truth and not be valiant for it, that he said, I'd just soon take my journey and travel out of this place and find me a house of wayfaring men. Now, you know how discouraged a preacher's got to get watching people not embrace the truth to do their own thing? He said, I'd rather go out there and live in the wilderness all alone than to have to watch this over and 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 over. Amen. There ain't a whole lot of men of God, real true men of God in our day that are valiant for the truth. But if you believe you have one, and I believe you do, amen, I ain't everything I ought to be, but I'm going to tell you, if he's valiant for the truth in his personal life, there's no way to describe the desire a true preacher and man of God has to watch you become valiant for the truth in your life. Amen. All right, number two, the description of the people. How we doing? Amen. Let me run you through this, the description of the people. What happens to the people when they are not valiant for the truth? What happens to them? Notice with me in verse number one, they had become ravaged because they were not valiant for the truth. Here's what Jeremiah said. He said that I might weep day and night for the, notice the word, slain of the daughter of my people. The slain of the daughter of my people. And he's saying that them not being valiant for truth, they're not strong in the truth, that they have reached a place where the enemy has been able to ravage them. Again, we could go back to the fact that Paul said that part of our armor and part of our warfare is to have our loins girt about with truth. That's what protects us from the enemy. That's what helps us to stand. That is what's going to help us to make it. That's what's going to keep us from falling in the battle. And yet Jeremiah describes a people that are not valiant for the truth as they that had been slain in the battle. I would encourage you. Let me say it this way tonight. And I've wrestled all afternoon about this word slain and preaching it to you. And let me just say this tonight. Go home and do a study on that word slain for yourself. Amen. It has some tones and connections to it. Let me word it to you this way, all right? And I really strive. I don't want to be vulgar by no means. Listen, one of the ideas behind the word slain is that one has lost her purity. It's been taken from her. Everybody okay with that? I know that's a terrible, ugly thing to think about. But this is the description. And I want to say, when we began to walk away from the truth, and when we're tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, that, and when we're not grounded and strengthened and prevailing in the truth, we open ourselves up to have our spiritual purity ravaged from you and I, unto the point that we're slain, when we're fallen in the battle. And oh, how the mighty have fallen, David said, of Saul and of Jonathan. And we can say in our day that the mighty are falling on every hand because they did not maintain a valiancy for the truth. I don't want to be spiritually ravaged by the foes and the enemies that I have as a child of God. Amen. I want to be victorious. I want to prevail. I want to conquer. I want to do so. And if I'm going to do so, I must stay valiant for the truth, because when we're not, we will become ravaged. They became reprehensible. Verse 2 and in verse number 3, he begins to describe them. Listen now. He said, for they be all adulterers, an assembly of treacherous men. Talks about the fact that they are liars. In verse 3, you got adulterers, treachery, lying. And then he'll boil it all down. And here's what he said, Brother Riley, in the middle part of verse number 3. He said, for they proceed from evil to evil, and they know not me. It's amazing where somebody can reach the description of a person's life if they ever began to drift away from the truth. They will reach a state where they will begin to do some of the most reprehensible things. I've watched preachers through the years that at one time preached with the touch and the power of God upon their life, and God was using them, and then somewhere in their heart, somewhere in their mind, somewhere in their ministry, they lost that premium of the truth and their valiancy and their relationship to the truth, to where they tonight are doing some of the very things that they one time condemned. You say, I'll never do this, I'll never do that. Well, I'm going to tell you something. If you don't maintain your relationship and valiancy for the truth, there ain't no telling what you'll do. Amen. I know this is a strong message. I understand that, Brother Mark. But boy, do we need to hear it. If you don't maintain valiancy for truth, there's no telling what you'll wind up doing. Amen. Boy, I'll never. All right, you just keep on bragging and tell us all what you'll never do. But I know this, you ever walk away from this book and the truth of the doctrines of this book, and walk away from your relationship with Jesus Christ, who is the truth, there ain't no telling what you'll do. Amen. Ain't no telling how reprehensible you'll become. Amen. Amen. We doing okay? They had become ravaged and reprehensible. They had become restless in verse number 5. Here's what Jeremiah, the Lord says through Jeremiah, they will deceive everyone his neighbor. They will not speak the truth. They have taught their tongue to speak lies. Now notice this. And weary themselves to commit iniquity. Jeremiah describes a people that is restless. And may I say tonight, truth with truth, there is peace. With truth, there is joy. With truth, there is satisfaction. You can be satisfied as a child of God if you'll maintain a relationship with truth. But if we begin to walk away from the truth and lose valiancy for the truth, I promise you, it will lead to a very restless spiritual life. Amen. The Spirit of God that we as children of God have a relationship with, the Bible talks about Him being our comforter. Jesus said, I'm going to pray the Father, and He's going to send you another comforter. And then do you remember what he said when he's describing, Brother Riley, when he's describing the coming of the Spirit of God to the relationship and the life of a New Testament Bible-believing child of God? He said, He is your comforter, even the Spirit of truth. And he's going to lead you into all truth. The connection between comfort and peace and satisfaction is made connection to our relationship to the Spirit of God, who is the Spirit of truth, who has given us to lead us into all truth. Amen. You begin to believe lies, it'll tear you up. You'd be amazed. We're in such a drama-filled, drama-dominated society. Amen. Everybody's living their own soap opera. And I understand drama kind of is a part of life to some degree, because Amen. We're dramatic people. I won't say spiritually, we ought not be full of drama. Amen. My daughter got a job up there at the mall years ago, and I wish that had never happened. But she'd come in from her place of employment, and she'd sit down and say, "Tell me about your day. Give me the tea. Give me the tea." That's the way the young people talk. I'm trying to stay up on all that. Spill the tea, drink the tea, sip the tea? Spill the tea. All right. Amen. However they do it. And all that means is tell me all the drama went on down there today. Man, I'm telling you, every day she went to work, come home, there was drama down there. We're living in a drama-dominated society. And one of the reasons we're so dominated by all the drama and the restlessness and the weariness and the lack of a satisfied means of life is there is a generation that is not valiant for the truth anymore. Amen. The progressives and liberals of our day have successfully lied and spoke error and gave their doctrines of devils to a generation. Amen. And now they're dominated by restlessness in their life. Suicide. And I understand depression and all that's real. I've been there. I've dealt with that. But you know what the main antidote to depression and despair is? Truth. There's an entire generation of young people that have been raised and told there is no God, there is no morality, there is no absolutes, there is no source of truth. They don't even know the meaning and the purpose of life. Am I telling it right, Sissy? She works in the school system. Jerry, am I telling it right? He substitutes several days a week in Sevier County High. And I'm telling you, this generation of young people are bombarded by so much error and untruth and outright lies. Their soul is so restless tonight. I tell you what the answer is. Start giving them truth. Oh, they'll hate it at first. They'll despise it at first. But if we could have a little time to give them some truth, with truth comes a calm and a peace that men must know. Amen. All right. Well, are y'all done? Amen. Are y'all done? I don't think I'm done, but are y'all done? Amen. They become restless. Let me say this tonight. They became, because they weren't valiant for truth, they became rebels. They just become rebels. You see, this thing of becoming a rebel, it just begins. Miss Kate kind of hit on this in her testimony. When you just start refusing to know God and know truth just a little bit, that thing begins to snowball on you. And before you know it, you're no longer valiant for truth, to the point verse 6 said, they refuse to know me. God said they have refused to know me. The word refuse, it's an interesting word. It literally means to a rejection of something that is offered. God was offering them truth. God was offering them a relationship with Him through that truth. And I don't know what it was, something they didn't like, something they, in their opinion, they didn't agree with. Something Lucas said that they stoved up on and said, "I don't want to hear that. I don't want to live that. I don't want to embrace that in my life." God said that has led to them rejecting the very relationship I have offered them to have with me. They have refused to know me. I'm going to say something tonight, and I'm getting ready to preach on a whole series on what it is to have the knowledge of God and to truly know God. I'm working on that. God, give me some things this week. And I wanted to preach on it tonight, and God said, no, finish this up. So I got to finish this up, and I'm out of here. I'm going on vacation for 2 weeks. You ain't got to hear me, see me, or speak to me for 2 weeks, okay? But when I get back, if you're going to know God, do you realize you cannot know God without a relationship with that Bible? I heard Lee Davis say, I'm done. I'm done. We're out of here. No, I'm not done. I'm almost done. I heard Brother Lee Davis say years ago, Brother Davis is now, he's a dear friend of mine. He's in glory now. Died of cancer several years back. Brother Lee Davis, you say, and he is a revival preacher. He said, we are hearing a lot of preaching and a lot of talk about we need to get right with God. Would y'all agree with that? We need to get right with God. Brother Lee Davis said this. He said, you'll never get right with God till you get right with your Bible. Until we get right with the truth that's in that book, we are not going to truly know God. And I'm telling you, our generation is dying. Churches are dying across our land. I'm watching families die. I'm watching young people die. Because they don't know Him. They think truth is just optional. You can't know Him if you don't know His truth. People become rebels because they're not valiant for the truth. Then as we read this, and I'm done here. I'm still not done. I have to probably come back and preach this again. Would that be okay? I'm telling you, God's burning this in my heart. They become ruined in relationships. You see, truth is what binds us together. When you study the Word of God, is it Ephesians 4 where we are called upon to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bonds of peace? And then he talks about there's one Lord, there's one faith, there's one baptism, there's one Lord and one Father. And he's dealing with that unity we have around the truths that are in the Word of God. Amen. Tonight, truth is what binds our heart together. Amen. If you're going to wait on personality to join you, and I understand there's people I just don't jive with, okay? Not everybody in this church. Now, I love them because you're in the family of God, but we have different likes and different backgrounds and different things. And let's be honest, some people are just hard to like. Not none of y'all. But some people, they're hard to like. But can I tell you this? You can still have unity with people that just maybe ain't your cup of tea. And you can get along and function together and serve God together when truth is what brings you together. He talked about, watch this. There, I'll just mention this one quickly. Their relationship with God got ruined. I already dealt with that. Their relationship with the Lord is ruined because they weren't valiant for the truth. Their relationship, you got to get this, their relationship with their family was ruined because of a lack of valiancy for truth. If a family ever gets to the place where mom and dad are valiant for the truth and a youngin' is not valiant for the truth, it will begin to erode and ruin that relationship spiritually now. It will erode it spiritually and wreck and ruin it. You get a husband or a wife who's valiant for the truth and the other spouse is not valiant for the truth, The devil begins to be able to sow division and discord into that relationship. I've watched it. I'm thinking right now of a family in my first church. And when I first went there, I'm talking about husband and wife both, they thought I hung the moon. And this gentleman, Brother Jack, I mean, he would tell people all over the community, man, you got to come hear my preacher, my preacher, my preacher, my preacher. And I wasn't half as good as his telling everybody I was. Till I started preaching on things he was doing. And he started turning from the truth. And I watched that man. He got so scornful. Amen. I'll never forget this. It's kind of funny to this day to think about a grown man doing this. He would walk in the church, sit down, take out earplugs, put earplugs in his ears, close his eyes and cross his arms, and just sit there scorning the preacher. I'm talking about a full-grown man acting like a five-year-old. Amen. I watched his wife love the truth, want the truth, embrace the truth. She'd come in, she'd weep and cry and pray and shout and worship God, and her little five-year-old husband. And I watch that divide that home. They've stayed married to this day, and he's actually doing pretty good now, and I thank the Lord for those answered prayers. He'll still walk out if I preach over in the church he goes to. His pastor's my best friend, and my best friend will have me come over and preach. And he won't even announce it. And I've watched him. He'll walk straight out the door when he walks in and sees me on the platform. I will say, yep, he's only about 6 years old now. I watch that divide, that husband and wife. It created turmoil. Are y'all listening? He talked about you can't even trust. You get the place when truth is not what brings you together. Then you begin to lie about each other. You begin to slander one another. Amen. There are churches all across our town and across our nation. God forbid it's here. It may be. When you start falling out of love with truth, you'll start running this thing and you'll ruin relationships that are in the church. Amen. You'll start saying things like, well, you better watch out for him over there. You know what you just did? You slandered. You need to get right with God and repent. Amen. Somewhere along the way, you've got to get out of sorts with truth to be able to run down your brother or sister in the faith. This is tough, ain't it? I told the Lord y'all wasn't going to like it. He said, you're going to ruin every relationship you got when you lose valiancy for the truth. Amen. Boy, I want to love the truth tonight. I want to be valiant for it. I'm trying to raise my, amen. Now, Sam ain't left the house yet. We're working on that. And praying, dear God, please make a way where there is no way. We're trying to raise these two girls here. Get them set on a direction, Brother Riley, where they can walk in the truth. Here's what John the Beloved said, 3 John, I believe it's verse 5. He said, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. He said, what brings me the most joy is not you got a new house and you got a new car and you killed a big buck or you caught a big bass. He said, what brings me the most joy is when I know you've taken the truth and you've walked in it. Can only happen. Nobody in here is going to walk in the truth who is not, Brother Larry, valiant. Well, all right. Brother Riley, come to the piano. Heavenly Father, we love you tonight.